Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to Fresh Bread and the fourth in our series of talks on Your Kingdom Come. So far we've covered the good news of the kingdom, the events of Jesus' return, and the signs of his coming. Let's remind ourselves of those signs we were discussing last time. When Jesus was asked what would be the signs of his coming, he immediately warned his disciples not to be deceived. So we also should be very careful to make ourselves familiar with the Bible's teaching on these signs. There will first be what Jesus called the beginning of birth pains, wars and rumors of wars, revolutions, famines and earthquakes, diseases, the sea and the waves roaring, but the end will not come right away. There will be great persecution of believers, but Jesus says we are not to worry because we are being his witnesses. This persecution will culminate in a short period referred to as the Great Tribulation, just prior to Jesus' return. For our sake, those days will be shortened. Because of this persecution, many will fall away and betray others. We need to be willing to forgive those who let us down. Many false messiahs will appear and will deceive many. So we will need to know what the Bible's teaching is on the second coming. Because of the increasing lawlessness, we need to ensure that our hearts do not become hardened and cold, but remain in regular fellowship where we are receiving encouragement. The good news of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world, to all nations, and then the end will come. We can hasten the Lord's coming by being his enthusiastic witnesses to the whole world, in spite of persecution. Immediately after the Great Tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon turned to blood, and the stars shaken from the sky. Then the Lord will return. The rest of the world, and many in the church also, will carry on as normal, just like in the days of Noah and of Lot, until suddenly the Lord will appear to the whole world. Then every nation will mourn, for they will see him coming in the sky. Now, there's another sign that Jesus told us to look out for, concerning Israel and the Jews. In our last talk, we referred a lot to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24. Now let's look at verse 32 on. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation, or race, will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now we know from the passage in Matthew 21 that Jesus used the fig tree as a type of Israel. Remember, one day Jesus was passing a fig tree, and because it didn't have any fruit, he cursed it. Later that day, the disciples were amazed to see that it had already withered. In verse 34 here, Jesus promises that this generation, or race, will not pass away until all these signs have taken place. The Aramaic word used can mean either generation or race. In Acts 7:13 and 19, the same Greek word is translated people, kindred, family, and nation. If Jesus had meant the generation present when he was speaking, all those people have been dead now for about 2,000 years. On the other hand, despite 2,000 years of almost continual persecution, including the deaths of 6 million Jews in the Nazi Holocaust, the Jewish race has amazingly survived to this day. Not only has this race survived against all odds, but they have become a nation again, after being scattered throughout the nations for almost 2,000 years. So what lesson can we learn from the fig tree, in other words Israel, the Jewish race? What part, if any, do the Jews have to play before Jesus returns? Well, there are a lot of prophetic promises that apply specifically to the Jewish nation. Most of these are in two parts. Firstly, they refer to the physical restoration of Israel as a nation. Secondly, they describe a major reconciliation of the Jewish people to the Lord and to Yeshua, their Messiah. In Luke 21, Jesus refers to the times of the Gentiles. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Shortly after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, in 70 AD to be exact, the Jewish nation ceased to exist. The Roman general, Titus, besieged the city and destroyed it, leaving not one stone upon another, as Jesus had foretold. A terrible famine gripped the people trapped inside the besieged city, and some even resorted to eating their children to survive. The Jews were expelled from Jerusalem, and most were taken to other parts of the Roman Empire, although Christians, mostly Jewish by descent, were allowed to live inside the new Roman city, Aulia Capitolina, built by Hadrian upon the ruins of Jerusalem. Eventually, Jews who still lived in the area were allowed inside the city again by the Empress Eudoxia in 438 AD. The Jewish people were scattered throughout the known world, commonly known as the Diaspora, and have been a dispossessed people ever since. Meanwhile, the land of Israel, the promised land, once flowing with milk and honey, turned into a virgin desert. Travellers to the area in the late 19th century described it as barren, with large areas of malarial swamp in the north. The land became an unimportant province, controlled by one Gentile empire after another. Finally, after the First World War and the defeat of the Turks, the area was governed by the United Kingdom under a League of Nations mandate. Yet, in May 1948, just 3 years after the Nazi Holocaust had almost succeeded in wiping out the Jews of Europe, the State of Israel came into being and was legally ratified by the United Nations General Assembly. And though the surrounding Arab states, some 50 million strong, immediately declared war on the fledgling state, vowing to throw the Jews into the sea, and though several major wars have been fought against Israel since, the nation has continued to survive and to grow from 500,000 to over 7 million today, 6 million Jews and 1.3 million Arabs and other non-Jews. What does the Bible have to say about this? Ezekiel 36 verse 6. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favour. You will be ploughed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. Verse 24, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. We can see a sequence here. First, he will bring them back from all the nations to the land of Israel. Then he will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and put his spirit upon them. Immediately after the Nazi Holocaust, in May 1948, Israel became a nation. For the first time since Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, the Lord promised that he would bring them out of all the nations and place them in the land of Israel. That process began in 1948, and immigration, or making Aliyah, of Jews to Israel has continued unto the present, from Western Europe, from Russia and the East, from Ethiopia. Ezekiel 39:27. When I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Sovereign Lord. Once again, he promises to bring them back out of all the nations to their own land. Then he will pour out his spirit upon them. Zechariah 12 expands on this change of heart of the Jewish people. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attacked Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, with their wives by themselves. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. According to Zechariah, there will be one great day of repentance and a sudden realization by the Jewish nation that Yeshua is their promised Messiah. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn. Isaiah 66 confirms this. Verse 7, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. And I am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those who survive to the nations and to the distant lands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations, and they will bring all your brothers from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord. So there will one day be a sudden revival and turning to Yeshua of the Jewish people. This begs the question, what on earth could bring about this sudden change of heart in the Jewish nation? When will this take place? What represents the budding of the fig tree? The Jewish nation as a whole rejected Jesus as their Messiah, and the church was born out of a small remnant of Jews, joined then by many Gentiles who became believers. To understand this better, we should look at the important passage in Romans 11, where Paul explains this in detail. Again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches from the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? If their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. Paul is making a very important point here. Because the majority of the Jews were hardened, we Gentiles, because we have come to faith, have been grafted into the tree. But he makes it clear that God still plans to graft in some of the natural branches again, also by faith. Unfortunately, the church has often been conceited and boastful in their attitude to the Jewish people, contrary to Paul's advice. He refers to what he calls a mystery. Israel has experienced a partial hardening until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. What does this mean? Remember we read earlier in Luke 21 where Jesus said that Jerusalem would be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. Since Jesus was crucified, we have been living in the times of the Gentiles. But there is a time coming before Jesus returns when a great number of Jews will turn to him. The Lord still has a purpose for the Jewish people, and there is still a great harvest to come of Jews coming to faith in Yeshua as their Messiah. According to Paul, the complete fulfillment of this event will take place after the full number of the Gentiles has come in, sometime during the final 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Many Jews around the world have begun experiencing this already over the last few decades. There are now many thousands of what we refer to as Messianic Jews around the world. When I first visited Israel in 1991, local leaders estimated that there were around 3,000 Messianic believers in the state of Israel at that time. When I visited there again in 1993, the number had doubled. There are many more, of course, outside of Israel, and quite a number of these have been emigrating to Israel. There are possibly 350,000 Messianic Jews, perhaps 2% of the total world Jewish population. The word Messianic, by the way, is just the Hebrew version of the Greek word Christ. We are all Messianic believers. We've just got into the habit over the centuries of using the Greek word Christian, which unfortunately, because of a history of persecution, has ominous overtones for many Jews. Messianic and Christian mean exactly the same thing, but the Hebrew word is obviously more acceptable to Jewish people. Although there are now many Messianic believers, the nation of Israel and the majority of Jews today still do not accept Yeshua as their Messiah. Most that have come to faith in recent years have done so as a result of a very supernatural experience, but it seems there is still a greater fulfillment to come. Let's recap what we have covered today. Jesus told us to learn a parable from the fig tree. When we see it produce new leaves, we know that summer is near. So we should keep an eye on events concerning Israel and the Jews. As we see more and more prophecies concerning Israel come to pass, we know that the time for Jesus' return is getting very close. Jesus said that this Jewish race would not pass away until all was fulfilled. We should look to see many more Jews returning to Israel, for example from America and other Western countries, because the Lord said he would bring them all back. The Lord said that he would multiply men, the towns would be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt, and the land would become fruitful and prosperous. This has been happening since the late 19th century, when Jews first started returning to Zion from Russia, Poland, and other countries and farming the land. As we see this take place, we realize that the times of the Gentiles are drawing to a close, and the gospel has yet to be preached to every nation. As the gospel continues to spread to Russia, China, the 1040 window, and elsewhere, so God will continue to draw the Jewish people home to Israel. Paul warns us not to become conceited and boastful against the Jewish people, most of whom have not yet accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. Unfortunately, the history of the Christian church has been riddled with anti-Semitic behavior, the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, the Holocaust. As believers, we need to repent of this anti-Semitism and be restored to our Jewish roots. The partial hardening of Israel that, by God's grace, has allowed us Gentiles to be grafted into the fruit tree is mostly still in place, but Paul says that there will come a day when the fullness of Gentiles has come in, when all Israel will be saved, and then they also will be grafted into the tree together with us. The Old Testament prophecies refer to this happening in one day. They will look on him whom they pierced. He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, and their sins will be cleansed. Some singular event will cause a large number of the Jewish nation to mourn and repent and accept Yeshua, perhaps even the public revelation of the Ark of the Covenant, said to have already been discovered beneath the crucifixion site, but currently inaccessible to the public. Thank you for listening.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes, and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.